Real quick thought. Do we really know who we're praying to, guys? Is prayer something you do when you close your eyes and just say amen? We can get churchy with things. Do we really honor and reverence God when we pray? Do we realize what price He had to pay so we can talk to Him? Do we really realize? Do we really realize He is a holy God? Do we really realize that when we talk to Him, who walks into the room? Guys, we can't let stuff get churchy. I mean, we've all did it. When somebody prays and they pray long and we start drifting, we have to keep our heart and mind focused. See, prayer isn't closing our eyes. Prayer is connecting our heart with the living God. When we pray, we're on holy ground. See, that's something that's lost in the church is our reverence and fear of the Lord. We have to fear Him, not be afraid, but be in awestruck wonder of who He is. That when we come before His presence, all we can do is bow before Him because He's majestic and He's holy. God, I want to fear You. See, His judgment isn't what keeps me from sin. It's His awestruck wonder, His fear that keeps me from sin. When I fear who He is, when I know who He is and I'm in wonder of Him, sin has no chance. So I'm going to ask, we're going to pray. And I ask that everybody in here, let's just connect our hearts to God. Let's connect our hearts with Him and let's not just go through the motions, but we're going to pray and just connect your heart. It doesn't matter if you speak or not, but we're going to connect our heart with God. Because guys, I have a sermon to preach, but I want Him to preach. I want Him to show up. We want Him here today, right? We want Him. We're not here to do the program and play church. We're here to be the church. We want Him to come. And if His Spirit doesn't come, we're done. Moses, he said, if you don't go with me, I don't want to go to the promised land. He said, if you don't go, God was angry and He said, I'll send my angel before you. You go. He said, I don't want an angel. I want You. I want Your presence. It ain't about the promised land. He is the promised land. His presence is what we seek. Him, who He is, His nature. Willing to lay it all down because you see who He is. And when you truly see who He is, surrender is easy. When you truly see His nature, you truly see His goodness, it is easy to lay it down. What is there to give up compared to Him? So let's just pray and let's just honor who He is right now. And let's just invite His presence in to come speak because we need Him. Father, we're here at Your feet, God. We connect our hearts with You, Jesus. God, we want to see revival. Revive us, God. Revive Your church, Jesus. God, it's not a man. It's not about a man. It's about You. God, it's about You. And only revival comes through You, God. It only comes through You, God, and we realize that we're on holy ground. God, that we're before You, God, and the presence of God is in this room. And God, we dwell, we stand in Your presence, God, and we ask You to move. Speak to our hearts, God. You're precious. You're amazing. God, we're in wonder of You. God, we're in amazement of You and who You are, God. There's nothing we want but You, Jesus. We don't care what people think about us, God. We want to be a holy bride prepared for You. We want to be that for You, Jesus. So come, Holy Spirit, and have Your way. We invite You in. We make the room acceptable to You. We make our hearts acceptable for Your presence to come. God, thank You that we prepare a holy atmosphere for Your presence to walk in right now, God. And we say, come. Thank You, Jesus, that You're here. We bless You, and we do all things in Your name, God. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, guys. That's really what He's been teaching me a lot. This isn't what I'm speaking on, but it's fearing Him, honor and reverence of Him. See, obedience, when He says if you honor who He is, if you fear Him, obedience. Abraham, these men of faith that obeyed God. It says we are surrounded by that cloud of witnesses, the heroes of the faith that we hear about in the Bible. We are surrounded by them. And they're looking for someone to pass that mantle to. They're looking for someone to hand that torch to. We are surrounded by these heroes of faith who love not their own life, who laid down their life for this gospel, for God, and they did not have the Holy Spirit dwelling in them. And this integrity they carried, this integrity they walked in, and they're looking at you and saying, will you take this mantle and walk in love? Will you lay down your life and honor God? You're the chosen one. You're the ones that God chose before the foundations of the earth to carry His glory in nature. Man, that is amazing. He is good. And when we honor Him, when we come low and meek and lift His name up, His presence comes. He's there. He comes where He's wanted. He comes where He's wanted. So, man, He's so good. I'm not the best speaker in the world. You know, guys, this right here, this isn't the high water mark. This platform is not, if you're in seek of this, you're seeking the wrong thing. If this right here, this is not the goal, you're actually judged more harshly for this right here. Because you're not just judged for what you do, you're judged for what you reproduce in others. So if you're, the only reason I'm here is because He's worthy to be preached. Because He is good. It's not about me. If you're trying to get this platform, you need to check your motives. God caused people to teach and to preach, but He never wants you to be in that place out of seeking this, out of needing it, out of being affirmed through it. See, there was a time in my life that this was a motive in me. Just being real, that this was a motive. And God spoke to me, son, you have a gift that I've given you, but you don't have the character to contain it. You don't have the character built in you that you're not ready for this right here. So I said, God, if I never see this right here, I'm fine with it. I said, God, until you develop me, I don't want to be up there. It would have crushed me. It would have destroyed me. It would have ruined me. I was not ready to be up here. And there's people that look for that and they feel like that's the high watermark, that I've accomplished it as a Christian. I'm a superhero Christian if I get up here at this platform and I hold a stage. And that is not it at all. It's about knowing Him. It's about relationship with Him. That is what we're seeking. And this is what I want to preach about, guys. I'm not going to keep you long. The cats don't play at one today, unfortunately. We can... I guess Jesus wanted me to preach longer, so... he must have influenced the refs a lot, because... I'm kidding. Just bring that down a little bit. Move on. He wanted me to preach longer. I believe that. We'll just say that. Luckily, I mean, that our victory is not in, our hope is not in Kentucky basketball. Gosh, because I've been in that place where my hope was in Kentucky basketball and I was on a roller coaster ride. But our hope is in Jesus. Our victory is in Jesus. And it's always going up. There's none of this in Christianity. There's none of this in walking with Him. It's victory. You never lose. So if you hate losing in here, be encouraged, because you never lose in Jesus. The devil is defeated. You got my water, April? My water, baby. Master. Yeah, the devil is defeated. He has no chance. He's cut off. He's a withering branch. He has no chance and no hope. And see, the truth is that he wants you to believe that he does. He knows that he can't defeat God. He tried that once. He had a little rally in heaven and tried to come against God. That ended real quick. The devil knows he can't defeat God, but you know what he believes? He believes he can dethrone God in you. See, God can't be defeated, and he knows that. The enemy knows that. But he believes with everything in him that he can dethrone God in you. That he can be seated in the throne room of your heart instead of God. See, that's his whole purpose. He wants to be like God. So God made man in his image to carry his nature and for him to be seated, for God to seat in our heart as king. And see, the devil always wants to be king. He wants to rule over God. So where's the throne at in your heart? If he can't beat him in heaven, he wants to beat him in you. And he believes that he can take over that throne and be seated. This is mine, God. Look at me. You made them in your image, but they're bearing mine. You made them in your image, but they look a lot like me, more than they do you right now. Gosh, man. That gets me. That gets me. That really irritates me that he even has a chance. It says at the end of time, we'll look at him and we'll say, is this really him? Is this really the one that tortured the nations, that brought sin upon? Is this really him? We build him up, and I know that he does carry power. I know he does, but he only carries it if you give it to him. What are you giving yourself to? See, God, the hunger of God is what moves. Hunger for God, hunger is what moves the heart of the Father. What are you hungry for? What is your desires? Examine your heart. Is he seated there right now? See, you know, it calls us a believer. And actually, the translation for believer is a house with no empty rooms. A ship with full cargo. Is any of your rooms being occupied by anything else that isn't him? You say, well, I mean, God wants me to love other things and enjoy life. He does. He does, but only through him can you even love. Even your children, if you're not in him, you're not truly loving them. Even as a parent, you care for them, sentimental. But true love only comes from being filled with him. And don't go, I mean, you're going to go and say, well, Jeremy said, I don't love my children. No, you do. But, I mean, you can't apart from him, not truly. Even loving them by the way they make you feel is not true love. Love is selfless because you care for that children, you know, that child. You know they was created in the image of God. You know they carry the nature of God, and you get to steward that gift. I don't want the enemy to rule in me. I don't want to bear his image at all. I don't want to manifest him. It says Christ in us, the hope of glory, not the enemy in us. The hope of glory being made manifest, being made known. The enemy in us being made known. A lot of Christians live in that. And this goes along with what I'm preaching, I promise. But it says, great is the gate to destruction. Narrow is the road to life. That isn't just talking about hell. There's many Christians on that road that's great, that's broad. There's many Christians that's on that road to destruction because what they're living for. Narrow is the way to life. There's many born-again believers. It's not just talking about the lost. There's many born-again believers that's on that road to destruction. But narrow, I got to stay on the narrow road. I got to stay in the Word. I got to seek Him. I got to honor Him. I have to have a fear of Him and who He is and how good He is. And seek Him and let Him rule over my life. John read in John verse 2, that's where I'm at today. Everybody say, cleanse this temple. Cleanse this temple. Christ cleanses a temple. John 2, verse 13. Let's all stand as we read this word and we honor His holy word, because it is His word. It's looking into the face of God. This right here, we're looking into His face and beholding Him. Now the Passover of the Jews was at hand. And Jesus went up to Jerusalem, and he found in the temple those who sold oxen and sheep and doves, and the money changers doing business. When he made a whip of cords, he drove them out of the temple with the sheep and the oxen, and poured out the changers' money and overturned the tables. And he said to those who sold doves, take these things away. Do not make my Father's house a house of merchandise. Then his disciples remembered that it was written, zeal for your house has eaten me up. You can be seated. See, he went into the physical temple, but it's a representation of us being the temple. See, God never wanted to dwell in man-made buildings. He wanted to dwell in you. It was never his intention to dwell in physical forms, in things made by man, but he wanted to dwell in you made by him. The Ark of the Covenant was a representation of you and the presence that you carry when Jesus came and gave his life so you could. And see, we look at this as Jesus was angry and mad, and he was, because what the wickedness that was going on in his temple. But do you not think he's the same towards you if you have other stuff in your temple? He's not angry at you. He's driving out the things that own you. He's flipping zeal for you. He's a zealous, jealous God. He don't want anything else to live in you. You are His. You belong to Him. He is zealous, and He wants to drive out all these things that are running your life. You are created to be His holy temple. You are created to be His vessel. He wants you. It's not that He has to. He's obligated to. He wants to live in you. And He wants to live in you in holiness. He wants to live through you a holy life. And He wants to drive out these things that has been running your life. Jealousy. You know, instead He flipped the tables of the money changers. And He did it out of anger because what was going on in His house. And in His house He did it out of zeal. Out of jealousy. This is not supposed to be going here. But it is said that the money changers actually, the reason He flipped the tables is because they had money underneath the tables hidden that they were stealing and keeping for themselves. So He flipped them to reveal their sin. What secret sins do you have in your life right now that needs flipped? What secret things is going on that only you know about? See ya. I can come up here and portray somebody and look like somebody, and you all say, awesome, good message, good sermon. But that's not what counts. It's what I do in secret that matters. God doesn't see me on the platform. He sees me on my knees in the bedroom. That's what matters. I don't gain my identity from this. Because people can portray anything to you. It's what's done alone. The good deeds, Jesus said in Matthew 6, He said, be sure not to do your deeds like the Pharisees to be seen by men, for they have their reward. What is their reward? Praise for people. If you seek that, you'll get it. It's easy to get praise from people, guys. Sincere and unsincere, you'll get it. Praise from people is not anybody can gain it. But praise from my Father. It says, if you seek me, and I gotta read it. Gotta read it. Matthew 6. You don't have to turn there. I'll read it if you don't. If you want to, you can. But I was reading it this week. Let me find it first. But you, see, we all can pray. But you, He's talking to you. We all can pray in public and sound good and sound anointed. He said, but you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place. He's in there. He's in there waiting to be alone. Right there it says it, pray to your Father. He's in there, guys. Almighty God is in the secret place, waiting to be alone with you. We think it's a chore and duty that we need to go do it, pay respects to God. God wants to be with you more than you want to be with Him. He desires you to be there. He's in there waiting, wanting to spend time with you. But when you pray, shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. How will He reward you openly? With Himself. You will leave the secret place looking more like Him because you've been with Him. No man can be in the presence of God and live. So if you're in the secret place with Him, all that is of this world, all the flesh, all that was in this temple will die in you. You can't be in His presence and live. Sin can't dwell where God is. He will crucify it if you get along with Him. He said, go in secret. I don't need people to know that I'm praying. I don't need people to see me help somebody on the street. I don't need everybody to know that I'm going to the hospital to pray for someone. Or you could be like, hey man, you need prayer? You need prayer? Nobody around. God bless you. Or motives. I lost my last spot. Yes, guys, I mean, it's not what you're rewarded for, what you live for an audience of one. You live for an audience of one. He is seated in the throne room of your mind, and your mind is a theater. He watches you day in and day out. And his eye is always on you. Always on you. And trust me, if you do something out of selfishness or to be seen, it profits you nothing. Love is selfless. Love does not seek its own. It profits the person. I mean, the person may benefit from it. I'm not saying you don't pray for people in public, definitely, but it can't be the reason why you do. See, these things, he wants to cleanse our temple. We all want to see the power of God fall. We all want to see the supernatural manifestation of God. That's amazing, but there's nothing more supernatural than a life being transformed. There's nothing God loves more than seeing one that was lost be found and start walking in his nature. There's nothing. The gift of God, we hold the gifts of God so high and they're amazing, but they're given. Gifts are given. Fruit is grown. We get so puffed up by a gift that we have that we're not even responsible for. God give it to you to glorify Him. You have people that can sing amazingly. Use it for His glory and be humble and know that He give it to you. You didn't get it. You didn't do anything to earn it. He give it to you to glorify His name. But we get puffed up for a gift and hold our gift over the giver of the gift. We worship, we make the gift an idol over who gave it. You have the most gifted, charismatic speakers in the world. That is amazing, but if you're not using that gift for Him, it profits you none. If you're not using it to glorify Him, fruit is grown. Fruit is something you're responsible for. The fruit, the character of God is something you're responsible for. See, do you ever see a husband get his bride ready? The bride prepares herself for her husband's coming. Paul says, I present my church as a chaste virgin. I want to present you a virgin to Christ so when He comes, He has a bride that looks like Him. You're responsible for getting yourself ready for His coming. So when He comes, He sees Himself in you. The bride gets ready for her husband. She wears the veil over her face. And she prepares herself. She gets ready for her husband to meet him. She's been waiting so long. Never touched lips. This is the way, this is what it represents biblically. Never touched lips. She's veiled. She's covered. She walks down that aisle. She meets her husband face to face. He removes the veil of separation. And he looks her into the eyes and she's prepared herself. He sees the beauty that she has. That's what we have to do. We have to prepare ourselves. So when He comes and removes that veil, He sees us and we're ready. I'm not just talking about a prayer to get to heaven. I'm talking about a lifestyle. See, repentance is the first thing. It says it's one of the first things you do when you come to know Jesus. You repent. Repentance is, you start there, but you got to stay there. You never leave repentance. Repentance is a lifestyle. Repentance is a lifestyle of laying down my life, a lifestyle of turning from this and turning from that and constantly, this is not of you, God, and I turn in my heart from that. I change the way I think. And when these things rise up, if there's something inside of you, crucify it. James says that we are all led astray by our own selfish desires, by our own lustful desires, we are led astray. So what's leading into you into sin? Your own desires. Temptation. See, the enemy plays off your desires that you want. He tempts you out of a desire that is there. But we got to crucify them desires. If you see a desire in you that is obviously not Him, you crucify it. And you allow God to burn and purify that out of you. And that's what Christ cleansing the temple. We want to see revival it's not going to start. God's not going to move through a bunch of people that don't know who they are. He's not going to flow His gifting through someone that can harm you. We want to see God move. Let's prepare and give Him a vessel holy and worthy to move through. Let's make ourselves a pure vessel for Him to move through. We say, you know, Christ, we say, I can't wait till I die so I can be free. If you're waiting for death to be free, death is your Savior. Christ died on the cross for you to be free now. Yes, when we get to heaven, there's going to be things, I mean, it's going to come all to place, but we're not waiting to die to be free. Death is not my Savior, my Jesus is. When I see that cross, I see freedom. When I see the cross and I see His scars, that's my freedom. And I can live and walk free from these things right now. I don't have to wait till I die. That's not the gospel. The gospel says, be free indeed. Who the Son sets free, who the Son sets free is free indeed. Nothing owns me. Addiction, lust, pornography, jealousy, envy. Jesus wants to drive it out of you today. He wants to purify you from these things. He wants to kill and crucify these things in you so you can bear His image and you will quit manifesting the image of the enemy. And step into your created purpose. Step into what you was created for. The Bible says, as He is, so are we in this world. We forget that last part. As He is, so are we in this world. 1 John 2:6. If we say we know Him, we should walk just as He walked. So if you call yourself a Christian, you should be walking the way He walked. Not just in power and in the works of God, but in the holiness of Jesus. The purity of Jesus. That the Bible leaves no place for excuses. Like, why don't we look up to it? Like, I'm not here to bash anybody, guys. This is good. This is encouraging. This is what we're called to. We want to prepare a church, a bride for Him to come and dwell. God, I want to see God move. It says in the end times He will pour out His Spirit on all men. So we need to get a bride so He can start pouring out His Spirit. We need to prepare ourselves and get ourselves ready and cleanse our hearts and purify ourselves before Him. Cleanse this temple, God. Cleanse this vessel. It breaks me down. I want a cleansed heart before Him. When He looks at me, He sees Himself. See, you're in Christ. You're in Him. When you give your life to Him, you're in Him. Don't be a bad witness. Don't say Jesus loves you, but talk about the junk the world talks about. Don't say, hey man, I go to church, I'm saved, but then live just like and do what the other people do. Stand out. There was a guy at work the other day asked me, the lottery I'm assuming is big, and he asked me, do you want to join in on this lottery? Or he's asking me, he said, what would you do if you won the lottery? I said, man, I don't gamble. I said, I used to be addicted to gambling. Actually, every door is an opportunity. I actually used to be addicted to gambling. It owned me. But now I got saved, and God set me free from that. Like, guys, I remember when I worked for the surveying company, and I would get paid on Friday, got good money, $700-$800 a week, and I would go to the poker machines and spend it in one night, and then go to the bank and get more out after I lost it all and lose it. It used to own me. And He wants to bring up gambling to me. He's living in the world. I'm not mad at Him, but I won't let that settle. I won't just say, nah, I don't play. I got to tell Him where I come from. I got to point to Him. I got to reveal. And he didn't really have nothing to say, but said, how long you been saved? I said, about 3 years. But it's a witness. It's a testimony. We are living witnesses. We are living epistles, the Word says, to be read by men. You're a living letter of God to be read. And if you say you're saved, people will look at your life and examine you. And you can lead them to the road. You can lead them to the road to destruction, or you can lead them to the road to life. We have to cleanse our temple. And when our temple becomes cleansed, then we'll see God start moving. Let's cleanse us before we want to get ourselves fixed before we try to help others. And that's not selfish, but you have to cleanse yourself or you can't give people nothing. You have to purify yourself or you will not, what you give people is bad fruit. But when you're walking in holiness, when you're walking in Him, you don't even have to sell your fruit. Your fruit's there to be picked. You live your life in Him and just testify when you can, open doors, take them. There's fruit all over your tree. And I guarantee that guy took a bite of my fruit and didn't realize it. A seed was sown in him that will lead. Open doors for Holy Spirit. Never underestimate the power of a seed. Never underestimate that. Jesus said if you have the faith of a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move, and it will be moved. So I've seen a preacher say, watch out, guys, I have a mustard seed. Really, guys, a mustard seed of faith. One seed being sown into someone. Like Joe, he met the guy at Food City. You know, he ended up coming to Jesus. What's his name? And he's here, I think. Dean. Love you, Dean. Yeah, and I'm bad with names. Sorry, buddy. But Joe met him at Food City and got to lead him to Jesus. But I guarantee there's probably seeds that he probably don't even remember back in the past that grew up to that. See, we sow seeds, and God brings the increase. Some people reap, other people sowed. You got to reap where someone sowed. We reap. Sometimes I'll reap. Sometimes I'll sow. But it's all for His kingdom. It's all for Him. But we have to get ourselves cleansed for Him. I want to be a bride that He looks upon and He delights in. And see, We hate the word discipline, but discipline, He disciplines those who He loves. We need it. I would run off a cliff if I didn't have it. I would walk in my blindness into destruction if I didn't have His discipline. If I didn't have His correction, His fathering, I can't let my son do whatever he wants or he will be destroyed. I have to, sometimes I'm stern, sometimes I encourage, but I have to discipline him. And I want to be to a place so where I enjoy it. Because this right here, I want to cleanse temple. It's never condemnation. God's never saying, I can't believe you. You're no good. You messed up. That's not the voice of God. See, that's the voice we hear. A lot of times God has to be so slow to discipline because we twist it. He's so slow to discipline sometimes because the enemy takes it and puts us in condemnation. When God is saying, Jeremy, you can't do that. That is not me. He's exposing things in me. I'm growing daily. I'm growing daily. We're growing daily, and we want a cleansed temple for Him. We come to church Sunday morning. We lift up our hands to Jesus. But we leave the same as we came. We should never leave these doors the same. We should never leave. We should leave looking more like Him every time. And I promise you, if the only day, this is for me and for Joe, if we're the only people feeding you, you're starving to death. It's good. You need pastors and teachers to teach you, to help grow you, but they're not your source. You get direct access. It says, call no one on earth your teacher. Holy Spirit is your teacher. We listen to teachers and we grow and we impart things get imparted to us, but I have to get on my knees before Him one-on-one. I can listen to 10,000 sermons a week. If I'm not in the secret place seeking Him on my own, I'm not growing. We have to be fed. We have to feed on the pure milk of the Word before we even can start on eating the meat. We see that verse and we say, I'm on meat, brother. I'm on meat. I ain't no pure milk, baby. Guys, you have to start with the milk. You can't start going to meat right off the bat. We have to feed off the pure milk of the Word and let it grow. Enjoy the process. Don't look and say, I should be this, and look far out there, and I should be that, and I should be this. Enjoy growing on the milk. Then you will get to the meat. But that's what it's about. It's about getting alone with Him, being fed day in and day out, and being in this Word and letting it cut and prune. And he highlights. He removes. He cuts. It's a beautiful thing. I mean, you ever seen someone prune a tree or a bush? That's what it is. He's not going through there with a machete. He is. It's a beautiful thing. He takes delight in it. And that's what, this is radical obedience. And I'm not talking about when he says to go pray for somebody to do it. That's obedience too. But I'm talking about obedience in the sense of what he says to get rid of, get rid of. Radical obedience. And when he says something and you don't obey, that's what brings condemnation. Because you can't even come before him because you're living in disobedience. And you're condemned. But delayed obedience is disobedience. And if he says to get rid of it, we need to die to it right then. We don't need to carry this away. We need to say, oh God, take it. Take it from me. See, we have to walk pure. The Bible talks about quenching the Spirit and grieving the Spirit. Quenching the Spirit is not to walk. Quenching the Spirit is when you don't believe in the power of God and you don't allow Him to flow through you. That's quenching the Spirit. Grieving the Spirit is when you're not walking in the fruit of God. He is grieved. When your character is not walking in with who His character is, that grieves Him. His Spirit is grieved through that and quenched, so you have to accept both. We see, nobody else is responsible for this right here but you. Nobody else is responsible for making yourself ready but you. We'll pour into you. I'll pour into you today. God's speaking to you right now and convicting and releasing this into you. But you can walk out the door. It's what you do with it that matters. I don't care who is speaking up here. If Billy Graham's up here talking, if you're not going to walk out this door and apply the message and live the message. See, I'm not talking about... I mean, I don't want to just teach you about God. I want to teach you who He is. I want you to walk like Him. And thank God for knowledge. But if it's knowledge that ain't applied, it's useless. We have to become this Word. We have to sit in it and say, God, I'm ready. Maybe you're living with the secret sin that right now Jesus is flipping over a table and saying, I've seen it all along. I knew it was there. I knew it was there. And right now is the time to die. It may not even be pornography or adultery. It may just be living in disobedience in an area. Or it may just be like, God, I want to surrender more to You. I want to lay more down to You. I want this vessel to be pure. I want a holy vessel. God said, be holy as I am holy. He would never call you to something that He wouldn't empower you to be able to walk out. He wouldn't say, be holy, knowing you couldn't do it. That would be twisted. God empowers you if you seek Him. Let's cleanse our temple. You're made in the image of God. You're made to carry His image. You're made to behold the very nature of who He is and walk in Him. He is love. You're created to be love. And if it's anything that's not of Him, who does it come from? The enemy. If I act in selfishness, I'm living and bearing His nature and releasing the nature of the enemy on this earth. I love everybody in here. I love each and every one of you guys. And I love you enough to speak truth. I heard a preacher say, do not sacrifice truth on the altar of trying to please people. But this should please you. This is what's available to you. Christ, cleanse my temple. Make me a holy bride. Christ, cleanse my temple. Purify me. Joel, do you care to come on up and start playing softly for me? I'm going to read another verse here as Joel begins to play. As we all stand, let's just close our eyes and meditate on our hearts. And what's in there? What's in there that needs to be gone? This is Matthew 22, verse 15. Then the Pharisees went and plotted how they might entangle him in his talk. And they sent to him their disciples with the Herodians, saying, Teacher, we know that you are true, and teach the way of God in truth. Nor do you care about anyone, for you do not know regard of the person of men. Tell us, therefore, what do you think? What do you think? Is it lawful to pay taxes to Caesar or not? But Jesus perceived their wickedness and said, Why do you test me, you hypocrites? Show me the tax money. So they brought him a denarius, and he said to them, Whose image and inscription is in this? They said to him, Caesar. They said to him, Caesar's. And he said to them, Render therefore to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's. So here's Jesus. The Pharisees knew what they was doing. They was trying to catch Jesus up in his words. They had twisted motives, so they flipped him a coin and said, Do we pay this tax to Caesar? Jesus looks at it, and he sees the face of Caesar on it. I see him flipping it back and saying, Give to Caesar what is Caesar's, because of the inscription of Caesar's face. Who are you inscripted by? What image is on you? Give to God what is God's. You don't belong to you. Give to God what is God's. That's what he told the Pharisees. Give to Caesar what is Caesar, but you give your life to God. Give to God what is God's, because you're created in his image. I see the image of Caesar on this coin. I see the image of God on you, and you're created in his image. Give your life to him. It doesn't belong to you. It's not yours. It's not yours to own. He made you. He created you in his very image, in his very nature. Give to God what is God's. Let's give to God what is rightly due to him, our life. Surrender is not a hard thing to do. Surrender is the most peaceful thing to do. I surrender, oh Jesus. I surrender in your presence. I give to you my life. All these things that have been owning me, break these chains right now. Loose me from these things. Drive these things up, and he will drive them out. Fiercely. God's a loving God, but he's a fierce God. And he sees your heart, and he sees something in it. He will pursue you, and he won't relent till he has all of you. He don't want part of a man. He wants all of a man. A cargo ship, a ship with no room, a room with a house with no empty rooms. That's what Christianity calls you to. A lifestyle laid down of surrender to my King, a giving back to God what is rightfully his anyway. He wants you. He desires you. He will not give up. He'll make it the hardest thing in the world for you not to love him back. He pursues and he pursues and he pursues. And you can strive and you can run. You can run and you can run. But he will pursue you. And you can never outrun the love of God. His love is overwhelming. He found me in my sin. He found me in my lust. He found me in my addiction to gambling. He found me in my addiction to pornography. He found me. 3 years ago, I hit my knees. I said, God, forgive me. And he said, You're forgiven, son. All the things you've done are no more. I forget them. See, forgiveness isn't just saying it's okay. It's restoring you as if it never happened. So that man, thank God he's dead. Thank God he's dead. Give to God what is rightfully his. And we're going to say something right now. And then we'll do an altar call. And whoever wants to come up, that's fine. But we want to declare this. And just let's just close your eyes. Just put your hand on your heart. And just repeat after me. Cleanse this temple, oh God. Oh God, cleanse me. Drive out, cast out anything that is not of you. I lay my heart down right now, and I truly surrender to you. Here we are, God. Father, I just thank you for this church, God. I thank you that you're pursuing, God, that you're touching, that you're moving on your people, God, and you're calling us all, even me, to a deeper level of surrender. God, we want revival. We ask that you revive us. We ask that you move on us, God. Thank you, Jesus. You're good. God, you're amazing. And we thank you that your presence is in here right now. Almighty God is walking through these aisles, and we honor you. Thank you for your presence manifesting in Jesus' name. Thank you for your spirit pouring out in Jesus' name. We speak it, God. We release it, and we receive it. We don't fight you off anymore. We don't fight you off, Father. But God, we thank you for unity in the body. We thank you for a holy bride. We thank you for peace and joy and just love to fill the atmosphere. As your presence walks in, we thank you for repentance. We thank you for freedom. When we see that cross, we see freedom. When we see that cross, we see freedom. Freedom from sin. Not just to get out of hell, but freedom from sin. Freedom from the wickedness that owned us our whole life. Freedom, our chains broken. Chains of the enemy broken and fallen off. Shackles being loosed in Jesus' name. Father, we thank you. We're yours. In Jesus' name, amen.